Book of Colossians, chapter number 1. We'll read beginning in verse number 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So as Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, you know, he's desiring that they might have a knowledge of God, a knowledge of the Word of God, and that through that knowledge that we could be strengthened, we could grow, we could be helped, that we might, you know, we don't understand everything that comes our way. But when we don't understand, if we had a knowledge of the Word of God that we could lean on that, knowing that He knows all things, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, them that are called according to His purpose, you know, I could put a faith and trust when I don't know what's going on. I could trust that God is in control and does know what's going on. And that I could rest in that. He says in that 11th verse, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So, you know, that the power of God might be made manifest in our trials. That the world, people that don't know God, even ourselves, that we could see the miraculous power of God manifest in our own lives. You might say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to be able to go through this. But isn't it amazing, after you do, you see the source. What was the source to bring us through? What was the source? Who was the source? I believe that it's this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Would you say this? That in our trials, when we don't understand and don't know what's going on, we go to the Bible. We go to the Word of God. We try to find encouragement. We try to find someone who's gone through what we've gone through. We go and we try to find, Lord, how did they make it through this? What was their plan? What did they do that they could endure? That strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So the strength is provided by the knowledge of God. Now that's right. Our strength is provided. You know how you were saying, through the knowledge of the Word of God, by the working of that glorious and wondrous power, by the working of the Word of God, and by the working of the Holy Ghost, you were brought to salvation. So if God, by the knowledge of the Word and by the working of the Holy Spirit, is able to bring a dead man and a dead woman to life through that knowledge, would He not be able to strengthen us, give us patience, give us endurance, not to give up, but to trust in that same God that made our condition known when we were lost and on the road to hell? So that you might be strengthened. Strengthened with all might, so that we might, by the power and by the word and by God, that we might have a cheerful endurance, a constancy, that we might be, you know, you ever heard this? This happened to so-and-so, and they're mad at God.
Yeah.
You've probably heard that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. With a true knowledge of God, do you think that would be my nature to get mad at God? This long-suffering is not to be angry, not to be rash, not to charge God foolishly, but that through this long-suffering that we're not easily provoked, that we're slow to anger, that the power of God and the knowledge of God is what we're looking to understand what we're going through and the trials that we're going through. Is there sufficient strength and grace there? Is he a respecter of person? If he was there for David, if he was there for Joseph, if he was there for Paul, would he not be there? Are you saved by the same Christ through the knowledge of the same Word of God? That we're a servant to the same God that's in control. So, that same God that said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, that grace will be sufficient for me. And if I will look for it, I believe that I can find strength. I believe he said it like this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, whose strength was going to be made complete? The complete strength of God was going to be given unto Paul, who was weak. The God and our high priest, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, said, Paul, my strength is made complete in your weakness. In your weakness, you call on me. I can be touched by your infirmity, and by my glorious power, I'm going to strengthen you and give you the ability to endure, not to be mad, not to charge God falsely, not to give up and not to quit, but to be steadfast unto the end. By the knowledge of God, by the knowledge of his power, by the grace of God, by that, Paul said to the Ephesians, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. The infusing power, the power of God that is put inside of you, should I ask for it? You're trying to move a big load and you can't do it. Would you ask for help? I mean, there's help available. God has help available. Does he want us to call on him? I believe he does. You know, I believe there's a many a daddy, a many a mother that's tickled to death when their son or their daughter needs their help. It just thrills them to be able to help them when they're up against it and can't do. I believe that it pleases mother and daddy to help that son or daughter to see them get through. They want to help. How much more does God want to help his children? How much more does God want us to have the victory over the devil that wants us to quit?
Right.
Over the devil that wants us to get mad at God? Over the devil that says, nobody's had to go through what you're going through? You see, all of that's against God.
Right.
But the Lord said, you call on me, and I'll give you strength to endure, patiently endure, and with long suffering to endure with joy. I don't believe you can have joy. Well, I believe you'll be wrong. And that joy is this. That joy is a calm delight. That joy is something that we're not in turmoil. We're not tore all to pieces and worried to death, but we are able to trust God, believe God, I was looking for something that he wrote down in the book of John. Maybe I will move on. But that joy that Jesus had, you and I can be recipients of that same joy. And he wants us to do this, that we might not be tore all to pieces all the time with what comes our way. He wants us to have a calmness that God Almighty is in control of the situation. Now, you may think that our world is out of control. It may be out of our control, but it's not out of His control. He's very aware of what's going on. Very, very aware. So thinking about that, he says this. You know, he's going to go on, and I believe he's going to give us something to be thankful for. In patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So, do you think the Lord wants us to be thankful? I believe he said this in one place. Paul wrote it down. He said, give thanks in all things. In all things, giving thanks. Making your requests known unto God. In all things, giving thanks. So as you think about that, listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Peter says this. 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, are over the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So we could ask a question there. Was the Lord good? Did he ever do evil? But I tell you what, there was hands against him, wasn't there? And there's going to be hands against you when you do what's right. And that may be, it may very well be from the devil and from his crowd, and it may be the plan of God to prove to a lost and a dying world that you have something that helps you to endure when everybody else would throw in the towel. So Peter says this, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now let's get all of that together, okay? So, let's start one more time. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears is open. His ears are hearing, right? But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So we know that's not always going to hold true. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. What's going on? There's people that are righteous that are suffering problems and trouble, maybe persecution. Now, what's going on with these people? They're enduring. They're still living for God. They're still holding the line. They're still praying. They're still seeking after God. And you know what's going on? Listen to the next verse. But sanctify the Lord in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. What's going on? They notice something about you that's different than the most. They notice that you're enduring with patience, with joy, not worried, not tore all to pieces, not blaming God, not accusing God, not mad at God. And they want to know, what hope is this that you have? Tell me how you are enduring, how you're seeing through with this, how you are patiently going through this, how you're not mad at God, how you're not going to curse God and die. Tell me about that. What is God doing? God is using this opportunity to use you to help them. If I throw in the towel, if I curse God, if I blame God, if I give up, if I go to the house, if I throw in the towel, I have lost my opportunity to give them a reason of the hope that I have, haven't I? That's right. That's right. Should I be thankful in all things? Sometimes that may be a hard saying. That's a hard saying, Lord. That's a hard saying. But we do know this. Listen, do you know this? That all things work together for good. He didn't say all things were good. He said all things work together for good. So the purpose of God may be hidden to our eye, mightn't it? Would you say that Job died a man who never knew what God was doing? By what we read, Job never did understand. It was hidden to Job's eyes what God was doing. You and I know what God was doing. God was proving to the devil that he had a man that would serve God for naught. All of our life's not going to be peaches and cream. But I tell you, our life can be a testimony to the lost and dying. Our life can witness. As John said, sometimes we can even use words. But can our life be a witness? According to what Peter said, count it joy. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't be worried, be joyous. Don't be calm. Trust, believe God. Believe that God's in control and endure. Patiently endure with a calmness. And call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Who's willing to hear? Who can hear? Who can do something about your situation? And if He doesn't change the situation, He can change you. Most of the time, that's what God's after anyway. He's not necessarily always going to change the situation. You know what the Bible said? He will with the temptation also make a way of escape. He doesn't always get rid of the temptation. He doesn't always get rid of the trouble. He doesn't always get rid of the trial. And friend, He may not change it, but He can change me and change you, right? Maybe that was God's goal. We don't know the mind of God, do we? Are we going to instruct God? A lot of people is really going to tell God one day. They're going to tell Him. I tell you how we're going to be. When we stand before God, we're going to be silent. We're going to be silent. So, let's just think about Thanksgiving for a minute or two. So, we realize this. I mentioned this last week, that Paul and Silas was in the jail, in the stocks, in the inner prison, praying and singing songs. Boy, I tell you what, now that's some enduring, ain't it? That's some joyful enduring. So, a few more places. Let's think about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he says to us in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, isn't that something? Paul said, I'm in prison, but pray for me that God will open a door that I can tell him about Jesus. Boy, now that's calm, ain't it? Peter is going to have his head taken off. What's he doing? He's sleeping. Peter is sleeping between soldiers, got his shoes off so he can be comfortable, and tomorrow they're going to cut his head off, and he's sleeping. I tell you what, he's got a calm, doesn't he? He believes God's in control. The church is praying for Peter. And the angel comes in and shakes him and wakes him out of his sleep, wakes him out of his rest, wakes him and says, come on out, Peter. Well, I tell you something. God can give us a calm in the middle of a storm. Acts 27:35. The Bible says, and when he had spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Paul was on the ship there in that great storm. He said, men and brethren, the Lord whom I serve sent his angel and he appeared to me. And we're all going to make it. And he gave thanks unto God. So he says in Romans. Now just think about this. In Romans, first I thank, verse 8, I thank thee, 1 and 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. 1 Timothy 1:12. Now this is just thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Has Paul got something to be thankful for? I tell you, God equipped him. You just think about where Paul was born, where he went to school, all the knowledge that he had. Here he was, a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man that had such great knowledge of all the law, and the whole time God was preparing him for a work. Right up to today, could God be working to prepare us for tomorrow? Right up till today, could God be preparing us? Paul said, I thank the Lord who hath enabled me. So Psalm number 92... Verse 1, he says this, it is good, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 107:21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. All of that's wonderful. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Paul says this. 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 13:15 in the book of Hebrews. 13:15, Paul says this, looking diligently, 13 and 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. What should I thank the Lord for? Now you think about man's failing. In Romans chapter number 1, verse number 21, man failed to give God thanks, didn't he? Romans 1 and 21, this is what the Bible says. Romans 1, 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. You think God's deserving of thankfulness? Is God deserving of thanks? Is he deserving of praise? He saved us. If you're saved, I just say this. Thank God you're alive, whether you're saved or not. Thank God you've not gone out to meet God, though you're lost this night, tonight. Though you're lost and undone without God, he spared you. He's been merciful to you. He's been gracious to you to spare you. You know what? To give you a knowledge of the Word of God. To give you a knowledge of the Son of God who died for you. To give you a knowledge that you're a sinner. To give you knowledge that Jesus died for you as an individual. That without him, we're headed to hell. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. I realize this is a lot of turning. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3 said this: we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Isn't that wonderful thing to thank people? Thank God for. That they're growing, and that they love one another. I tell you how thankful that we ought to be that God would grow us and that we love one another. You know, Mika just spoke about somebody that says that they're saved and a life of misery. Is that the way God wants his children to be? Does God want his children to be miserable? No, ma'am, and no, sir. I tell you, we've got much to be thankful for. So, in Luke 6 and 35, the Lord says it like this. 6 and 35, he says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God's even good to the unthankful and the evil. When man is unthankful unto God for his life, for his health, for his family, for grace, for Jesus Christ, man is unthankful. One more time, he says in 2 Timothy 3 and 2, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. When is this? Today. Today. It is the last time. Today, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient unto parents, unthankful, and unholy. That's where we are today. So, one more verse. 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, the Bible says this: thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We got anything to be thankful for? We have the gift of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A gift. The gift. What we've got to be thankful for. So, back to Colossians. So, giving thanks unto who? The Father. According to James, in 1 and 17, every good and perfect gift, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Who's the source of all of the gifts, of all the goodness? Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet. What does that word mean? That means this. You know, just think about this for another minute. That the God who was our judge, the God who had every right to cast us into hell, adopted us through Jesus Christ and became the giver of the greatest gift that's ever been given. The God now, who was our judge, who had all right to cast man into hell, that God, through grace and mercy and his loving kindness, translated us, transformed us, made us, qualified us, enabled us to be partakers, participants. He made himself to be our Father who loved us instead of our judge who hated us. Isn't that, I tell you, you talk about thankful. We ought to be thankful that he's not our judge today, but he is the one that has given all good gifts. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Thank God, our God is God, our Father. Jesus said, when you pray, say this, our Father. Isn't that wonderful? Our Father, the provider of everything that I have, the lover of my soul, the one that gave his only begotten Son. The only offspring that came from God was given as a sacrifice unto God for my sin and for your sin. You talk about something to be thankful for, that God would be so mindful of man that he would give his Son, that you and I could be brought into the family by him. That was the plan of God. Now, what do you think that we ought to be thankful for? I tell you, thanks be unto God, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to qualify, to be sufficient, to empower, to authorize, to make fit. He made us qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, qualified us through Jesus Christ, made us meet, made us fit, authorized us, made us part of the family of God. Now, what did you have to do with that? I mean, we were headed to hell, hated God, hated the people of God, hated the church of God, no desire for the Word of God, and Almighty God, by His Spirit and by His Word, come and fingered around our heart, drew us, drug us. You might say, well, that's the wrong word. Well, you just get your little dictionary out and look, and I'm going to tell you that's exactly what it is. Drag. God Almighty, not against our will, Oh, no, not against our will. He changed our mind. He changed our want to. He changed our desire. I tell you what happened to me. I got under conviction and God Almighty gave me a desire to want to be saved. I didn't want anything to do with the church. The people of God, the church of God, the word of God. But I tell you what happened. He came by one day, fingered around my heart, got me under conviction. I was lost and undone and going to hell and I wanted to be saved. He drew me by his love. So, he qualified us, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. You remember that same thing that John said, John the Baptist said to the scribes and Pharisees? Bring forth meat. Bring forth works, meat for repentance. I may not have that exactly right, but I hope you know what I'm saying. What was he saying? Something that would show that you've repented. Something that would qualify as repentance. Something that would make or be fit for repentance. What did God do for us? He made us fit to be a part of the family of God. Now, we'll probably not get up to all of that tonight, but I could say this, that he did it through the blood of Jesus Christ. He did it through the offering of Jesus Christ. He qualified me, authorized me, made me fit, brought me into the family, and enabled me to be a child of God through what Jesus did. That's something to be thankful for. And you know who we thank? We thank God. We thank God that he sent Jesus. We thank Jesus that he died on the cross. We would thank him that he was willing and 100% obedience unto God. It was a desire. It was the will. It was the plan of God for him to die for you and for me. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. That was God's will. It pleased God to bruise him. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall get rid of their iniquity. Who hath qualified us? So, now just think with me. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He hath made. That sounds like past tense to me. Are you a child of God? Preacher, you won't never know till you get there. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. By the knowledge of the Word of God, I know I'm a child of God today. By the knowledge of the Word of God and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and by the inspired Word of God that's penned down for me to read, I know that I am a child of God today. I know that I have been qualified, I have been authorized, I have been enabled, and I am today a child of God by the work that already has been performed. Right. Amen. I'm not waiting to see. I'm not hoping to make it. I'm not thinking I will, hoping I will, maybe I will. Praise God, I want you to know this, that I have been qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of God Almighty. I'm going and I'm going to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm going to be in the family of God and I am today. I already have the earnest. Already have the earnest of the Spirit. Maybe we'll look right there for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even unto him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know what I am today? I am an inheritor already. I already have an inheritance, and my inheritance has already been purchased by Jesus Christ. He has given me the down payment on that. He has signed on the dotted line. He says, you take this and you use this while you're down there. And in a little while, I'm going to let you be a partaker of all that I have afforded and purchased and have for you. You are going to get to enjoy everything that I have purchased. Now, He purchased it all. You read with me just a little bit more there. Or read with me again. In whom also we have obtained. Where's my inheritance? Well, now just think about it. So here's Joseph and Daniel. Where is their inheritance? It's in this man and woman sitting right here. That's where their inheritance is. Where is my inheritance? My inheritance is in Jesus Christ. And He has already, past tense, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom also, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you and I that are saved, we already have the Holy Spirit. You know what that says? That's God's stamp of ownership. When the king sealed a letter and sent it down the road, he took hot wax, they poured that on the letter, and he took his ring and he sealed it. And that says that letter is from the king whose seal is on the letter. I tell you, thank God the Lord put a seal upon my heart one day, and that seal is the Holy Ghost. And that seal says to the world and says to my brothers and says to my sister, that right there belongs to me. The Holy Ghost tells the world and tells our fellow man and tells our brother and sister in Christ that we belong to God. I'm not yet all that I will be. I don't yet have all that I'm going to have. But I know this. I am qualified to get it by Jesus. He hath qualified us, enabled us, made us to be partakers. So, what portion do I have? That word, I believe that word means a portion. Be partakers, that word there means a portion. So, let me ask you this. What do you think your portion will be? That's exactly right. So, what's our portion now? Is it equal as well? Would you say that everyone that's saved, been qualified by the blood of Jesus Christ, every one of us has the same earnest of the purchased inheritance today? There's no big I's and little U's. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So we are today, everyone that's saved has a portion, and that portion that we have today is the earnest of the Holy Spirit of God. And God did not give this fellow over here the Spirit of God and gave this man over here nothing. If these two men are saved, they both have the same thing. And we're going to have, you can just think about it however you want to. But the man that came in at the 11th hour and didn't work near as hard as the man that went at the first hour or the third hour, that man's going to get the same thing. You know who gets all the glory? Jesus does. Not me. Well, I work more, and I deserve more, and I'm going to get more. You better just hang that up, because that ain't going to happen. You want more? You want more? You want more spirit, more power, more of the witness of God? You work down here, and God can equip you and help you and strengthen you. And friend, you might very well excel spiritually down here. Do people excel above one another down here? They do, don't they? They do. Reckon there could be any little chance in there that would be according to the effort, according to the yielding, the meditating, the time spent with God. I believe that it might very well be. So He hath made us to be, have a portion of the inheritance of the saints. Now, who are the saints? So the saints are these, those separated from the world and those that are set apart for God. There's no hocus pocus about that. If God called them saints, I tell you what it meant. It meant that God made them different. God called them out of the world. You know, the church is the called out. The saints are the called out. The saints are those that are separated from the world and they're set apart for God. That's the saints. And He made us to be, have a portion of the inheritance of the saints in life. If you're saved, you've been a partaker already of the light. You have been. You have been brought out of darkness. We were in darkness. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are partakers of the light now. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 3, He said that He didn't come to condemn the world, but He come that the world through Him might be saved. But He said this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you're saved, you've been brought out of that kingdom of darkness. If you're saved, you are a part, you have a part in the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been enlightened, He says in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, He says this. Now he that ascended, what is it? 4 and 9. But he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended afar above all the heavens, that he might that he might be all in him all things. And he gave, I'm sorry, somebody read that verse, number 10. That he might fill all things. I'm sorry. I'd written something there and couldn't read it. Now listen to this. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, even to a perfect man, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What did God do? He gave us knowledge. He enlightened us. He brought us to be an inheritor, a partaker of the saints and light. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness. You were once darkness, but now are you light in the world. Oh, hush.